The final case for oral argument this morning is John Beechin and Moody County Code of Rural Action versus the Moody County Board of Commissioners. For the appellants is Mr. James Abrus, an attorney from Sioux Falls. For the appellees is Mr. William Ellingson, the Moody County State's Attorney, who I understand will be speaking for 15 minutes. Is that correct, sir?
Correct.
And then Mr. William Beck, an attorney from Sioux Falls, will speak for 5 minutes. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Court should note that Justice Sabers has disqualified himself, as has Justice Meyer Henry, and the court has appointed the Honorable Gene Paul Keene, a judge from the Second Circuit, to sit in one justice's position, and the Honorable Larry Lovren, circuit judge from the Fifth Judicial Circuit, to sit in the other. With that, Mr. Abrus, you may proceed, and you have 20 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chief Justice and members of the court and the counsel, the facts are very straightforward in this case, Your Honor. County Commission of Moody County granted two dairy permits, for one for 2,000 head, one for 3,600 head. The petitioners, who are the appellants in this case, filed petitions for a referendum, and the county the decision to grant the permits was made by the Board of Adjustment, which is the same as the county commission. That's in their ordinance that they appoint themselves as a Board of Adjustment. They rejected the petitions for a referendum vote on grounds that it was an administrative decision and not a legislative decision. I advocating on behalf of the plaintiffs, and I brought a writ of mandamus in the circuit court before the Honorable Judge Genap, asking that a vote be forced, that the commission and the auditor be forced to put this question on the ballot. The trial court, Judge Genap, declined my request and ruled in favor of the county and the dairies, who became interveners in the case, the two dairy, the Britannia Dairy and the Nederman Family Trust Dairy. So we're here to try to get that reversed, that decision by Judge Genap. In this case, as in any case of this nature, there are two major questions to be answered. One is, were the citizens of Moody County, the argument by the respondents, as well as a decision by the trial court, said that the conditional land use plan and the ordinance contained enough objective criteria, was what was considered under the Kirshen decision, that the CAFOs that were to be established, were the citizens of Moody County were adequately apprised of the establishment of these CAFOs. So the question, first question is, were the citizens, by virtue of the ordinance and the conditional land use plan, apprised of the decision to grant permits to these two dairies? Secondly, the other question that must be answered is, was the decision by the county government discretionary, or was it mandatory on their part, making an administrative action which would not be referable to a vote of the people? Well, if you can look through the ordinance itself and the land use plan, there is no warning to the citizens of Moody County that there would be these two dairies of concentrated animal feedlots established.
So if you were in the next township, say, and you were looking at this new plan that was before the county commissioners, you would have had no way, under your interpretation, of knowing there was going to be a dairy across the road.
There'd be no way of knowing, because the discretion that the county commissioners left to themselves when they adopted the ordinance, especially the ordinance, the discretion, there were innumerable instances of discretion for them to be exercised in the ordinance. So therefore, there's no way anybody would know, any neighbor, anybody else in the county would know, that dairies of these sizes and these locations would be established. And to me, that's one of the critical parts of the decisions made by this court. So it's basically, they said it was administration of a previous plan.
Well, the neighbors were required to be notified under the ordinance.
I'm sorry?
The neighbors were required to be notified under the ordinance.
Well,
Right?
Notified, yes, at the time the
Application.
Application, yes, that's true, and I think they probably were. But I'm talking about a separate notification. Once the decision was made, we have the right to bring a referendum vote on. And they denied that right on grounds that we should have known back when the ordinance was passed.
You know, Mr. Abrask, one of my concerns is that obviously these ordinances are adopted so you have an organized development and growth of the county. Where do you draw the line? Say they just wanted to build a garage rather than a dairy farm. Can the neighbors force a countywide vote on a building permit for a garage?
Well, I think so, yes. I think that's what the law is, Your Honor.
Wouldn't that invite chaos?
I don't think so, because for one thing, it's not practical. Very expensive and very time consuming.
For the county, but not for the person who wants to force the election, is it?
They would have to have 5% of the last registered voters of the last election, which is be a considerable amount for any individual to come and say, I don't want this garage next door to me.
Okay, so where do we draw the line between the dairy farm and the garage?
Well, I don't think you do. I don't think you have to draw the line. I think it takes care of itself. It's a pragmatic decision on the part of the people who are filing for a referendum.
Okay.
It basically would be too expensive for anything unless something that really concerns the citizens there.
Well, under this theory then that you've just suggested, there's no distinction between legislative and administrative decisions, because if you could refer a variance or whatever it takes to get a garage built in a residential development, there's simply no distinction left.
Well, yes, there is a distinction, and this court has set down what the distinction is. If it's something that's being executed based upon a previous plan by the county government, well, the example this court uses is one I use all the time. If you vote to hire police officers in the county or the municipality, that's legislative, because there's discretion involved there. You either yes or no, you do hire them or you don't. But then once they're hired to vote for their salary, that becomes administrative. That's the distinction this court has made in past cases. So that distinction would still lie, except that depending on the facts of the case, whether it's a garage or a hog feedlot or a dairy farm, either one, it doesn't matter. It's just, again, it's a pragmatic decision on the part of the people filing. I don't think anybody would go around and collect signatures. They probably couldn't get signatures for a garage in a neighborhood. But they certainly can for a big, large feedlot. And that's the pragmatic difference. What I did was, Your Honor, and you probably have this Moody County ordinance, I pulled out the concentrated animal feedlot section, and I highlighted all of the instances in here that give the county discretion. And I'll just read a couple of them examples. In general, no concentrated animal feeding operation shall be constructed, located, or operated so as to create a significant contribution of pollution. Well, that's very discretionary on the part of the county commission. And there's a dozen examples all the way through that give the county this kind of discretion. When I took testimony during the hearing portion of this case, I had the chairman of the county commission on, Mr. Himmer, and I asked him flat out, did you have discretion to vote up or down on these permits? And he said, yes, we could have voted either way on it. And the clerk of the county government got up, they called her to testify, and she said the same thing, that there was no way anybody would know that these feedlots are going to be established at the time the ordinance was passed. And this is their major argument on the other side, that the referendum should have been brought at the time the ordinance was passed. Well, I can say that I'm someone who's had not inconsiderable experience in campaigning. And I can tell you that if you went out and tried to campaign against an ordinance that did not say a feedlot's going to be, you'd say, well, you know, there might be one established, so let's vote against it. You'd be laughed out of the county, I think. So there's just no practical way to contest an ordinance if it doesn't specifically say there's going to be a feedlot here or a feedlot there. And that's a major argument by the trial court and by the other side, that we should have known there'd be a feedlot established. Well, there are conditions laying out what you have to do in the Moody County ordinance, that there are minimum conditions, but still the county commission itself left so much discretion to themselves that they didn't want to actually cheat themselves out of this decision that they wanted to make.
As a practical matter, is there any way to design an ordinance that would have no discretion in it?
I don't think so. But what the appellees are relying upon is this certain amount of dicta in the Kirschenman case. And I'll just try to recite that. It says, in the absence of objective criteria, this was a legislative decision. That was in Kirschenman. And I never really fully understood what the court meant by objective criteria. And it answers your question, Justice Konenkamp, that there is no way to set out, unless you absolutely put in the ordinance itself, yes, we're going to have a feedlot here and there's going to be another one over here. It's the only way to do it. Otherwise, the county citizens wouldn't know. How would they know? There's no way for them to know. And if they bring a referendum vote at the time the permits are granted and are denied, basically it's wrong and it's opposed to the law. It's against the law.
Mr. Ambrose, aren't these public meetings, I mean,
Yes.
Well, don't they have an agenda and they say we're going to talk about feedlots today and giving conditional use permits?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
Then the public's notified.
Only at the time the permits are being granted. Now, what's happened in the case?
Yeah, but, I mean, sorry. But the people can still come to that meeting and talk about it when they're granting those petitions. And
yes.
If we don't talk about history and being practical, you know as well as I do that if you're going to have a meeting that has controversy, they're not going to decide it at one meeting. They're going to adjourn it to let everybody have their say. And so when you tell me that the people don't know what's happening or aren't being notified, I guess I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, it's my fault that you don't. Let me try to clarify my own position on that. The argument by the appellees is that the county citizens should have known there'd be feedlots established at the time the ordinance was passed, not at the time the permits were granted. I'm speaking about two different instances. And at the time the ordinance was passed, there was nothing in the ordinance that told you that there'd be a feedlot here or a feedlot there. At the time of the meetings on the permits, yes, then they said here the feedlots are being applied for here, but then it's too late.
Why is it too late?
Well, because you can't, it's too late to go back and contest the ordinance.
I wrote the planning and zoning ordinances for Minnehaha County when I was state's attorney, and you never did things like that. You had zones and areas where things could or couldn't happen, and then they came in and got their permits later through a permit process. So what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with that. It's just, in other words, the people who were opposed to these feedlots didn't know at the time the ordinance was passed that there would be a feedlot sited here or one permitted here. They just didn't know. And by the time it came around, then it's too late to ask for a referendum on the ordinance itself. You know, you have 20 days from the time it's published. So it's well beyond that time.
Mr. Ambrose, why did you not appeal from the Board of Adjustment decision?
I'm sorry, I didn't appeal.
Why did you not appeal from the Board of Adjustment decision? There's a statutory remedy of appeal to Circuit Court.
Well, Justice Zinner, if they follow DENR's regulations and the county regulations, an appeal would be meaningless because they followed the law. The only appeal is that they didn't obey the law. But the laws are very weak and they're weakly enforced, I might say. The DNR regulations are very weak. And
but you're suggesting they follow the law then?
Again?
Are you suggesting that they follow the law in granting this permit?
Yes, they follow the law, yes. But what they didn't do was give the citizens the right to vote a referendum on whether they wanted these feedlots or not.
So you see this as a policy question for the voters, not a legal question for the judge.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So if you and I've done some of these appeals down in the southern counties to the trial court, and they always say no, the law is followed. That's why we didn't try it this time. the law's followed, you don't have a chance. Well, then we'd bring a referendum petition. And they'd deny that, and then we'd ask for a writ, same process we've gone through here. And we come to this court, and this court, I have to say, has been very solid in protecting the people's right to vote. And that's what we're relying upon, are your previous decisions in this matter. And in fact, as I said in my brief, that if we're deprived of the right to vote, the result is going to be the most massive transfer of political power from voters and citizens over to small county commissions and the planners, the professional planners. Because if we're deprived of the right for a referendum vote on a hog farm or a dairy farm, that's it. We have no other recourse at all. So we rely upon this court's decisions in the past to keep the right of the referendum alive for county citizens.
But you're asking for to refer the decision of a Board of Adjustment as opposed to the county commission here.
That's true.
Is there a gap in the statutes that allow for this?
Yes, there is somewhat of a gap. Let me find that statute. I think it's been filled, however, by South Dakota Code 9-20-18.
That's a municipal statute.
Yes, but it was used in this by this court in Kirschenman, which applied to a county. So it's extended to the counties by this court. Any legislative decision-making authority granted to municipal governing authorities is subject to referendum. That was in both Wang v. Patterson and Kirschenman v. Hudson County. And that was confirmed by this court in those two cases. When I argued a case here in 2003, it was right after the legislature had passed House Bill 1281. I hope you remember what that was. It was a bill establishing everything as administrative, any county decision, and it would have taken away our right to vote on a referenda. And somebody on the court, I can't even remember what case I was arguing, I can't remember which member of the court asked me as I was wrapping up my argument on another case, did I believe it was unconstitutional? And my reply was no, because the legislature granted referenda to county citizens, and the Constitution granted it to the statewide voters. But it was only by statute. And my theory, my rationale for that was the legislature can grant it, it can take it away as well. And now there's been legislative history since then where there have been two or three attempts to take away people's right to vote in a referendum, but they've all been canceled out by a statewide referendum, number one, and number two, by a defeat in committee in the legislature. So the law, the status of the law, the statutory law is now that as it was before, it was left untouched. So we're still under your decisions of what is legislative and what is administrative. And I respectfully request that the court order that the writ of mandamus be granted, and that we be allowed to vote a referendum on this issue in Moody County. And if I might say, Your Honors, it'll have a tremendous effect on other counties who, if they see that this ordinance written by Moody County, which I believe was designed to get around the Kirschenman decision, if they're able to succeed on this, every county in the state will start writing similar ordinances to deprive the public's right to vote. And I think that would be such a massive transfer of power and a wrong transfer of power that I would hope the court would study that very carefully. And we respectfully request that you grant the writ of mandamus. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abaras. Okay. Mr. Ellingson, you have 15 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice and other justices of this court. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to present the oral argument in this case. It's not only important to Moody County and in connection with the utilization of its Board of Adjustment in that county, and it's not only important and critical to the two dairies who were granted a permit, all in good faith, and who no doubt incurred literally millions of dollars of commitments before petitions for a referral of that to a public vote were filed in our county. But every county and every municipality in the state that has a zoning ordinance and utilizes a Board of Adjustment is concerned about the interpretation and decision of this court. Primarily because, and as I was researching this at the trial court level, the question I had was, how did we get here? In other words, how did we get to a point where we are scrutinizing a Board of Adjustments decision on the basis of whether it was legislative or administrative? I mean, for years, dealing with the county as well as the cities that I represent, we dealt with that issue and question at the city council level and at the county commission level, because they have the power to decide both legislatively and administratively. And of course, our statutes address that question, and our courts, in interpreting those statutes, address that question. If they're acting, those governing bodies are acting legislatively, that is subject to referral as the statutes for cities and counties provide. But we're down to an administrative board level, where the statute doesn't say an administrative board decision can be referred. The statute doesn't say that the administrative board shall publish its ordinances or resolutions. Well, they can't even make ordinances or resolutions. The statutes don't say that boards of adjustment decisions are postponed. The effective date is postponed for 20 days to give the right of referral. Board of adjustment decisions are effective immediately. The statutes do provide for a check on board of adjustments decisions, and that is appeal to the circuit court within 30 days after the decision is made and filed. So how did we get to that point where we're actually scrutinizing decisions by board of adjustments and drawing those lines between legislative and administrative so that we could determine whether there's a referral to a public vote? I never did find that thread that was pulled through the statutes or the court's decisions. There was a leap in there somewhere that I never did find. But it's important when you step back and look at the statutes and the structure for referrals of decisions made by the governing bodies, and then look at the structure that the statute set up for boards of adjustment in helping administer zoning ordinances, and there's a big, big difference. And the right of referral just was not incorporated in the latter.
Now, council says that SDCL 9-2018 does give the right of referral. What's your response to that?
Well, that deals with municipalities, again, and not the counties. And I always go back to the specific referendum laws and procedures for counties and don't see that in there.
Did we, in Kirschman, did we use this statute to say it applied to counties?
There was language in the Kirschman decision that discussed that. And I don't know that the specific ruling was made that it applies to counties. I don't remember seeing that in there. So anyway, I stood back and took a look at those statutes and came up with those questions, and in all honesty, couldn't answer that. How that thread ran through all of those decisions to bring it down to a referendum decision. But the appellants in this case would like this court to take that leap and say that because there's a vote at the level of the administrative board, the Board of Adjustment, whether it's a county commissioner sitting as that board or another five individuals sitting as that board, because there's some discretion there, that is legislative and therefore that is referable. The remedy, however, is appeal to circuit court. If that board is acting illegally, if they've gone beyond their authority under the statutes, if they turn that corner and start legislating, this court has struck that action down. This court has said, no, you can't do that, it's unauthorized, it's void, it's null, and they go back to the permit that was granted under it, and an injunction's granted, and they stop construction.
But Mr. Abresk is saying that basically nullifies any rights that his folks would have, because if the applicant simply goes through all the legal hoops, there's no way they can win. There is no abuse of discretion. The county's requirements have been applied for, have been complied with, and it's not a question then of policy, it's just a question of whether all the legal procedures are followed, and those are huge differences to be decided, aren't they, between public policy and whether just the law was followed?
That's correct, but the policy is developed at the ordinance level.
All right.
And they do have the right to refer to a vote the policy incorporated in the ordinance. And that goes to the notice question. Did the residents of Moody County have notice that large animal, concentrated animal feeding units are going to be considered by the County Board of Adjustment in the future? Absolutely they did. And the trial court was very specific in its findings of fact and in its memorandum decision in pointing out where that notice occurred. When Moody County first adopted its ordinance, CAFOs were a part of it. And then when it considered expanding the regulations and criteria under that ordinance in 98, I believe it was, notice was given to the public at that time. And then, of course, late 2002, early in 2003, when it adopted the existing ordinance, there was clearly, at every step of the way, notice given that large animal confinement operations are going to be considered, are going to be allowed here in Moody County, up to, at one point in the plan or the ordinance that even mentioned 5,000 head or beyond. We aren't saying where, we don't have an application in front of us, we aren't saying how many head, but they are going to be considered if they're compatible, and these are the criteria that our Board of Adjustment is going to be used. So in adopting that policy, in developing that plan, the land use plan and the ordinance, the residents of Moody County had opportunity, not just in 2003 when it was finally passed, the revisions are finally passed, but prior to that in 1998, and prior to that, I think in 1995, when an application for a 7,500 head cattle feedlot was approved by the Board of Adjustment under the ordinance in effect at that time, they knew that this was being considered by Moody County. It's an agricultural community, and they've deliberately limited residential development so that agricultural pursuits can be developed. So they had notice.
So in the record, this is not the first of this size of application that the county has acted on.
That's correct.
Okay, and that's in the trial record?
Yes.
All right.
I recall it's in Judge Gienapp's opinion.
Yeah. All right.
And in the record, there's testimony reference to that at the hearing. So having been given notice, that was the time to test the policy. If they wanted a public vote, they could have circulated the petitions, and the public could have said, no, we don't want these CAFOs in Moody County, at least to that extent, and whatever. But there was no such referral. And once a zoning ordinance is adopted and they start granting permits for whatever level and whatever aspect that the zoning ordinance governs, that's administrative. I mean, by definition, the Board of Adjustment's doing its job as an administrative agency, and the zoning board is doing its job as an administrative agency. If they act illegally, if they go beyond their authority and get into legislating, they can be reversed, and they have been, by the circuit courts as well as this court. That's the remedy. But as far as putting up to a public vote each and every application, that's not provided for in our state law nor our constitution. So we feel that this court, Moody County, would ask this court to affirm Judge Gienapp's decision, affirm its findings of fact, which were very detailed, and having affirmed the findings of fact, then determining that Moody County residents had the notice that the appellants have said they did not have, Moody County Board exercises some discretion, but not complete discretion, as was addressed in Kirschman, and therefore they were acting as an administrative agency when they approved the two permits in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ellingson. Mr. Beck, you have 5 minutes, sir.
May it please the court. I want to talk a little bit about this case, just the standard of review that is before you. There's only one decision this court can review de novo, and that's the ultimate decision of whether the permits and the granting of the permits became a legislative or an administrative decision. I think the key decision by the trial court leading up that ultimate question must be reviewed with significant deference to the trial court. Pursuant to SDCL 15-6-52A, of course, the trial court's findings of fact must be given clear air review. Mr. Aberesk alluded to this in paragraph 7 of your Kirschman decision, talks about the test that we have here, and it In that case, this court decided that the county had complete discretion and there was a lack of notice to the citizens, so we had a legislative decision. In this case, that's not the case. Regardless of the standard of review, the plan and the ordinance did not afford the Board of Adjustment complete discretion. On page 49 of the ordinance, a permit shall not be granted unless and until all these conditions are met. So there's a limit on discretion. And I think the argument that the plaintiffs are making is that some discretion in this body makes any of their decisions legislative. And that's simply not supported. SDCL 718A-15.1 gives some examples of what is administrative decisions. Hiring, discipline, and setting the salaries of employees, for example. Those clearly require some discretion. As far back as the Supreme Court's decision in the Graves case cited in the brief, this court defined administrative decisions to be those where there's some discretion as to the execution of the law. So some discretion does not make a decision legislative. It must be complete. The question of fact that was before the trial court and to which co-counsel alluded is notice. Were these people given notice that this sort of operation could be put in their county? And the answer to that is yes. And I would ask the court to look at the trial transcript, pages 17 through 18, where Mr. Beshen testified. Exhibit 1, which is a letter from the Dakota Rural Action to the county in 1995 before either the ordinance or the plan was put in place. And Mr. Thompson's deposition, which was received into evidence at pages 6 and 29 through 32. And these established that in the mid-1990s, the evidence will show that an application was made for a concentrated animal feeding operation of between 10 and 20,000 cows. The county was inclined to grant it at that time. And the DRA in 1995 described that as a radical change from the present practice. The DRA, the named plaintiff in this suit, knew as of 1995 the county was inclined to grant something of that size, which dwarfs the permits that were issued here. Mr. Thompson testified that that particular CAFO was supposed to go in the same township section as the CAFO that my client has set up. You couple that with the fact that the plan at page 38 talks about greater than 1,000 head of cattle. And the ordinance at page 86 and 92 talks about an excess of 5,000 head of cattle. The citizens were given adequate notice. In light of these, the trial court clearly had a good basis to make its factual finding of notice. You couple that factual finding of notice, which cannot be reversed on this record, with the limited discretion that the Board of Adjustment is allowed to exercise, and the only legal conclusion you can come to is that we had administrative decisions here that cannot be reversed. I would briefly touch on this point as well. The Kirschman case did not cite SDCL 9-20-18. That is for municipalities. The Kirschman case relied on 718A, 15.1, and 16. Which I think has been briefed, applies only to the Board of County Commissioners, not to the Board of Adjustment. The plaintiffs do cite in their reply brief, and I think perhaps in their original brief, Section 920-18. That applies to municipalities on its face. Section 911 defines municipalities as cities and towns, not counties. So we would join in the county's request for affirmance.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. Mr. Abresk, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you. In the Wang v. Patterson case, 920-18 is cited by Justice Henderson in a concurrence of the major opinion, and in the majority opinion, 920-18 is cited again, and this dealt with the deals with the county. When it goes to Kirschman, then it deals with the county decision.
Your Honor, what I see their major argument today is that there was notice that these CAFOs would be established. Well, you can take the Hutchinson County Ordinance and there are provisions there for applications for CAFOs. So does that mean that that notice has already been given? I don't think so. I think the fact that discretion was total, not just partial, but it was total on the part of the county commission here, in this case, is a strong indication that this is legislative. Simply, they admit that they could have voted it up or voted it down. And there's, as I said, numerous examples of discretionary powers given to themselves by the ordinance in Moody County. So the idea that that there was no complete discretion that makes it administrative doesn't wash, it doesn't fly. I was involved peripherally in that 1995, it was a 20,000 head feedlot up in Moody County. And it was the Minnesota Corn Processors, I believe it was, that was trying to establish that feedlot. And they went through the county, but then there was no vote on it. They just abandoned the project on their own, that's to the best of my recollection. So we didn't have to go through anything more after they withdrew. Now, Mr. Ellingson asks why did this get to the Board of, why the Board of Adjustment? What was the decision involved in the Board of Adjustment here? Well, that's the point. 9/2018 extends county decisions, which includes Board of Adjustment decisions. And let me say that if the Board of Adjustment cannot be referred, then every county in the state of South Dakota will have their decisions made by the Board of Adjustment.
That's until you go to the legislature and get them to fill that gap.
Well, until they'll do it, yes, if they would. I'm not sure that they would. There seems to be a move so far unsuccessful in the legislature to try to deprive people of their right to vote. And as I mentioned in my legislative history, they tried it and failed. When the public found out what they were up to, they quit. They abandoned it. The votes, by the way, indicate that down in Hutchinson County, after this court ordered that the referendum be held in Bonham County and Hutchinson County, we won the Hutchinson County vote by 2-1. We overturned the permits. And in Bonham County, we overturned them by a vote of 3-1. So the public sentiment is there. And that's exactly why they're trying to do it. And I accuse the legislature of doing it in an underhanded way. They did it with language that was not obvious to anybody who hadn't read this court's decisions. They said this: the county governments shall give a permit whenever they're applied to. Well, to me, that's an administrative decision right there, and that would have obviated, that would have precluded any right for a referendum vote. But they won't do it above board. They've tried it underhandedly, I say. They won't do it above board because the public is opposed to that sort of thing. So the statement by Mr. Ellingson that residents had notice in the ordinance that there would be CAFOs established. Well, every ordinance has the same thing. They have a provision for asking for permits for feedlots. You ask for them, it doesn't mean you get them, because there is discretion on the part of these boards to deny the permits that are being applied for. So the fact that you allow people to apply for it, and even if you set some standards, some basic minimum standards, does not mean that they will be established there. People have a right to know if something's going to go up in their neighborhood. And these ordinances that they're talking about in the conditional land use plan does not provide that notice. It says you can apply for CAFO permits. It doesn't say they'll be established. So there really is, that's not notice, of any notice that I would know about. And then the argument that Mr. Ellingson brought in is that every CAFO had to be voted on. It's kind of like, his argument is that it's a burden upon the county commission to have these votes every time a CAFO comes up. Well, I can tell you that having been involved in Hutchinson County and Bonham County, every time that there was a county commission meeting, there would be 100 to 150 people show up in opposition to the permits. And the county commission, there'd be, and I'd always say at the meetings, I'd say, please raise your hand if you're for it. There'd be four or five people.
What does that have to do with the issue before us? I mean.
Well, it has to do with whether or not everything should be voted on or not. If you don't want me to bring it up, Mr. Justice.
Well, if it's in the record, fine. If it's not, we're supposed to confine ourselves to the record. Okay?
Well,
otherwise, I've got to get Mr. Ellingson up here to a chance to respond to what you're saying, and that's not the way.
I don't want to do that.
Okay. Then confine yourself to the record.
Thank you. Well, in any event, there is no notice by virtue of this ordinance. There's no notice that anything would be granted, and the discretion is there. We respectfully request that the court grant the writ of mandamus.
Thank you, Mr. Abrus.
Thank you.
The court will be in recess.
You're listening to oral arguments of the South Dakota Supreme Court. The court is in recess and will resume shortly. For more information about the court, please log on to www.sdjudicial.com. Thank you.